Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. Yes, after all this time, we're getting back to 1 Peter, but we're not going to get very far. 1 Peter chapter 4. I would like for you to take some notes tonight, even if just a little bit. The title of the message is Who's Minding You? Word minding is in, all right? What do you call those things again? Parenthesis, thank you. Boy, I'm telling you, it's a good thing I married an English teacher. My wife's not here. She is. Never mind. I was going to say something about her. I was going to say something nice about you. That you let me win 2 out of 3 times when we arm wrestle. You know, stuff like that. No, I'll tell you. I love my wife. She's the best secretary. And then I watch her, you know, we're working here and people from the Spanish ministry come here, so she starts talking her Spanish lingo, you know, and stuff, and she's taking care of the grandkids at home and all that, and I'm thinking, man, I'm telling you, this lady is great. I just, you know, I'm glad I get to have the church secretary sit on my lap. Okay. All right. 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's read just verses 1 and 2. For as much then, as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. A fantastic passage there that I want us to look at tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we're just stopping here and we're settling our hearts and our minds down. We want to be taught tonight of You. I pray that You'd work. Lord, open our minds, I pray. Open our hearts to embrace truth and to stand on it. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You remember the saying, in fact, it was used in a commercial years ago, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. The mind is a terrible thing to waste. You know, I find it interesting, there are gymnasiums all over the place and guys, you know, working out and getting buff and stuff like that. But what America has really focused in on is wasting of the mind. We are amused to death, as the name of the book says. We have amusement. We have television. We have things that we don't have to think. We don't have to think. We just want to be entertained. And that winds up messing with our minds as far as how God had wanted us to use them. Remember Philippians 2:5? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So there is an effort, there is a focus, there is a guidance, not only with the passage here from 1 Peter, but also Paul in the book of Philippians, and then obviously Paul, you remember it, in the book of Romans, where he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body is in it too, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of what? Your mind. So, indeed, for the Christian, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. Would you please write this down? If you don't get anything else tonight, I want you to get this. Please write this down. The mind can be fed and can be led. The mind can be fed and can be led. Now, when I say led, I don't mean L-E-A-D. That might be the case sometime with some of us. But the mind can be fed. You can feed your mind, and this is the best food right here. Amen? But it can also be led according to the feeding. You see, when asking the question, who's minding you? What we're doing is we're challenging us. And so, in ever so subtle of ways, this is what the Apostle Peter is talking about. In ever so subtle of ways, if we are not careful, people will tell us how to think. Folks, it's in advertising. And it's also in classrooms where we wind up having, as one guy on the radio puts it, skulls full of mush, and they're taught, this is how you're supposed to think. And so, like we alluded to this morning, it is so sad, we've got people on campuses today that have they are called snowflakes. You know, I mean, they can't be bothered. I couldn't believe it. I didn't go into the article, but I thought this was absolutely ridiculous. A classroom of eighth graders somewhere in the United States decided that they weren't going to have their picture taken with Paul Ryan. I've got news for you. Somebody put that in their mind. Somebody put that in their mind. Now, if we're not careful, people can put stuff in our minds. If the guard is down, that's why we are to guard the mind. This is part and parcel of what this is all about. Now, I want to give you a little bit of background on something. When I was going through my difficult times years ago, there was a lot of reading that I did when it came to the mind. We have to get to where we appreciate the fact of what our mind can do, how we can indeed teach it. You are not just random thoughts. You can have your mind directed. In fact, as the Scripture says, you are to surrender your mind. You are to renew it through the Word of God. But it's fascinating. There's a man by the name of Professor Martin Seligman. He went across the vast majority of people who were out there just simply having people that were popping pills to those that were depressed. He said, wait a minute, that's wrong. He said, look, you can change somebody's thinking. You can change their pessimistic attitudes. In fact, how many of you know a pessimist? Raise your hand. How many of you are a pessimist? Not just like, okay, all right. No, you're not. No, you're not. But you don't have to think that way. Listen to this. He says you can change from that kind of thinking to being an optimist. Now, by the way, the Word of God helps us do that. The promises of God, the challenges of God, the commands of God to direct us. This is what this is all about. But this is what he said. He said one of the most significant findings in psychology today, and I'm not a psychologist, and I don't believe in a whole lot of what psychology says, but I found this is fascinating. He says one of the most significant findings in psychology in the past 20 years is that individuals, listen to this, individuals can choose the way they think. When you are hearing God's Word, you can choose to believe it. When you're hearing God's Word, you can choose to obey it, stand on it, and say, praise God, this is what I'm going to do. In fact, in talking about depression, because I was having a challenge with it. This is 16, 17 years ago. I was having a challenge with it, and I loved what I read here. He said, depression is nothing more than its symptoms. It's caused by negative thoughts. Now, you need to hear that. Because you know something? Christians don't have to think negative. In fact, thinking negative is a sin. It's a sin. You don't know what I've been through. God does. And God's the one that said it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the what? And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He said, there's no deep underlying disorder to be rooted out. No unresolved, listen, no unresolved childhood conflicts, not our unconscious anger, and not even our brain chemistry. He said emotions come directly from what we think. Now, let me ask you something. Who's minding you? Who's minding you? Stop and think about it. Martin Lloyd-Jones, when he wrote his book on spiritual depression, and it's not the title is not exactly what you think it is, but listen to what he said. I've used this before, but some of you haven't heard this. We must talk to ourselves instead of ourselves allowing ourselves to talk to us. Remember when David was writing, I think it was Psalm 42, what did he say? He said, hey, you take yourself, you put yourself down. This is what Martin Lloyd-Jones said, and he quoted David. Hope thou in God. Why art thou discouraged? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him. Most of your unhappiness, Martin Lloyd-Jones said, in life is due to the fact that you're listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself. I thought this was interesting. A man by the name of Norman Cousins, in The Anatomy of an Illness, was in a hospital, and he was told he had a rare, crippling disease. He could do nothing about it. He said, that's it. He checked himself out of the hospital, went home, and he started to study. And he heard about laughter. He actually went, this is before VHS, stuff like that. He went and rented a projector and got old Marx Brothers, that kind of thing, places, movies. And he found this out. 10 minutes of laughter gave him 2 hours of uninterrupted sleep. 10 minutes of laughter, 2 hours of uninterrupted sleep. Do you know that he took that and kept going after it and completely reversed his rare, crippling disease that he could do nothing about? The mind is a powerful tool, and that's why Satan attacks it. So this is why you hear these things, for instance, just like Peter said, when it comes to Christ, he said you take the mind of Christ and you arm yourself with that. There was a man by the name of J.A. Hadfield. He gave an illustration to this in his book, The Psychology of Power. Listen to this. This is a suggestion. I don't recommend hypnosis, but just listen to this. He asked three people to submit themselves to test the effect of mental suggestion on their strength, which was measured by gripping a dynamometer. They were to grip this dynamometer with all their strength under three different sets of conditions. So, first he tested them under normal conditions. The average grip was 101 pounds. Then he tested them after he hypnotized them and told them they were very weak. You know what the average grip was? 29 pounds. The power of suggestion. Then he hypnotized them and told them that they were strong. You know what the grip went to? 142. Now, same hands, different thinking. Same hands, different thinking. Now you stop and consider this. You take yourself, the person that you look into the mirror every day, and let me ask you, who's minding you? The mind of Christ or the mind of the flesh? The mind of Christ or the unregenerate mind that you were born with that you've just figured, this is me, I'm going to just go ahead and float along just like this. Folks, that's wrong. Over and over again, including this passage, we are told to think differently. Your mind can be fed and your mind can be led. Kimmel, in his book, Little House on the Freeway, said this, One's philosophy, he quoted someone in this book, one's philosophy is not best expressed in words. It is expressed in the choices one makes. In the long run, we shape our lives and we shape ourselves. The process never ends until we die. And the choices we make are ultimately our responsibility. Now, folks, that's dynamite right there. Because that's not what people are being taught today. What is being taught right now, generally, over the airwaves, including in news media, is what was being taught in socialist states a generation or two ago. You are a victim of your environment. Folks, that's wrong. Somebody can grow up in a difficult household and they can live for Christ. Somebody can start out wrong and they can finish strong. It's all how you feed your mind and how you lead your mind. If God commanded it, you have a choice to obey or disobey. Period. You do. And there are consequences if you do not stop and think for yourself by the Holy Spirit. There's a guy who told a story about a pig. A pig was eating his fill of acorns under an oak tree. And when he ate all the acorns, he started to root around the tree. There was a bird that flew by and said, "You shouldn't do this. If you lay bare the roots, the tree will wither and die." And the pig said, "Who cares? As long as there's acorns." Think about it. You see, if we get this idea, who cares what I do as long as I'm happy, eventually everything that you have been subtly destroying in your life because of how you're thinking is going to collapse all around you. We need a good, healthy dose of what our sin costs us today. We need a good, healthy dose of what we need to do differently, like we were talking about this morning, about change. I don't know about you, but I'm fed up with my sin. Anybody fed up with your sin? Anybody want to say, you know what, by God's grace, I want to live according to Jesus Christ? I read of a great man who said, he was asked, "What is wrong with the world?" And without missing a beat, the man said, I am. You know, we're here by God's grace to get it right. The person who has taken a stand for Christ and has suffered for it, they understand what they need to do, as we see here in this passage. We were told by Paul in Romans 6, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." That is something that we need to hear, and we need to hear it clearly. Go back to your Bibles and go to 1 Peter 4, 1. So this is what we read. "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." There's two Greek words that you can use when it comes to arm. The first means light armor. The second means to be heavily armed. Peter used the second term because he knew the battle and was led by the Spirit, who knows the battle that God's people are involved in. And he said, this is what you need to do. You need to be heavily armed. You don't need Christianity light. You don't need to come in and be entertained and hear just simply a story and then maybe a little bit of a skit and a sad story and a tearjerker, and then sing and go home. There's instruction in God's Word that each and every one of us need. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have Wednesday night prayer and Bible reading. That's why we have a Sunday night service, because these things are needed. We get into the Word. Again, like I mentioned this morning, too often we wind up seeing these things in the abstract. It's distant thunder to us. It doesn't have anything to do with us. Friday night, we have the RU, and we're here, and praise God for what's going on. But then, right afterwards, I mean to bring it home, RU, getting away from addictions, right afterwards, there's a drunk just a block away from here that slammed into five cars and killed an individual in the car in front of him, all because he was drunk, because to him it just was all about him. That's the kind of thing that brings it close to home. Is all of a sudden you think, my soul, man, that could have been. In fact, Ed Fogel was telling me, he got to looking, he was there as a newsman, and he was looking to see, was it one of our guys that was killed? Was it one of them that was in an accident? These things we need to be paying attention to. He said, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, which he did on the cross, arm yourself likewise with the same mind, the mind of Christ. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. This speaks of a state of being. He has been set free from sin so that he is no longer a slave to sin. He stopped. Now, does that mean sinless perfection? No. What does that mean? Sin does not have the effect on him. He has seen his sin. He's seen the effect of it, and he despises it. I don't know about you, but I hate the consequences of sin. I mean, have you ever looked to see what sin can do in an individual? You will leave the church tonight, and I don't care what direction you go to, most likely you will run across a homeless person. They didn't choose to be like that when they started out in life. Nobody grows up, and in sixth grade when they're asked, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up, says, I want to be a homeless person. I want to live on the street. Nobody grows up and says, I want to see my family blown apart. Nobody says, I want to see my liver eaten up by alcohol. Nobody says, I want to be a stoner. Nobody says that. Nobody says that. The wages of sin stink. Amen? They absolutely do. Look at verse 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. You see, the mind you operate by will determine the fruit of your life. Excuse me, the mind you operate by will determine the fruit of your life. So, you've got to ask yourself, who's minding me? Who's feeding my mind and what am I latching on to? Paul told the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Listen, but we have the mind of Christ. I start out my devotions, and I see the glorious truth. They're from Galatians 2:20. Christ liveth in me. Now, I'm telling you what, that's a joy, isn't it? Now, wait a second. Do you realize what's being said? How many of you, to you, the cross and the resurrection is just something way out there? I've got news for you. Everything that the cross and the resurrection was about is right here in this auditorium. Are you a new creature in Christ? How did you get that way? The cross and the resurrection. And trusting Christ as your Savior. Now, this is something that we need to stir ourselves up, like Paul told Timothy to do. Stir yourselves up in this. Don't just sit back and, for instance, when you get home, go, okay, well, this is cool. I wonder what's going to entertain me now. Let's not do that. You make sure that in the morning when you wake up, you get into your Word and you see what's minding you and you let it mind you. You get into that book. You get into that Word. Because, as Peter says, you're going to need the heavy artillery. You're going to need the heavy arsenal. It is by God's grace the focus of this local church to prepare God's people for what's coming. And whatever comes will come tomorrow. And it could be rough, it could be good, but eventually the world out there more and more is going to wind up hating us, folks, more and more. Do you know that we, according to government officials, people in the judiciary, people who are in power have said this, we have religious freedom because we are allowing it. They don't look at the Constitution. They've said it's because they're allowing it. Let's keep that in mind if we're going to stand for Christ. To have the mind of Christ, please hear me, to have the mind of Christ is to be obedient to God's revelation. If you want to know the mind of Christ, listen to the commands of Christ. Listen to what He has charged us. Listen, or see, I should say, watch what He did. That is how we learn that. That is how we learn that. This passage makes it come to mind in Ephesians 6 to me. Go to, if you would please, to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. This may come to some of you. Ephesians chapter 6. Look, if you would please, at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. That's key. That's key. Put it on. You've been told by Peter, this is what you need, now put it on. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. A church cannot be all the Lord has called it to be unless that church seeks to have the same mind as the Lord. And it happens when we put on the armor of God and we put on the mind of Christ. There was a survey that was taken by Gallup, surveying the religious landscape, they called it. We've got a problem. Now this is from Gallup, not from Barna, this is from Gallup. Said this, Americans, quote, Americans are God-loving, church-going, and Bible-believing as ever. But, and it's a big one, their brand of faithfulness is a mile long and an inch deep. That's America. And that can bleed right into us. George Barna said this, quote, although most Americans believe they already know the fundamental truths of Scripture, our research has discovered that, listen, fewer than 10% of American Christians actually possess a biblical worldview. Now, what's a biblical worldview? It's this. It's looking at the world through the mind of Christ, through the Word of God. It's the view that draws missionaries. It's the view that gets people to share the gospel with others. It's the view that looks around and says, this world is not my home. It's the view that says, one day this is going to come to an end. That what we see is temporary. What we don't see is eternal. That's what that is. A biblical worldview. It's that which the Word of God teaches us that gives us the mind of Christ. I can't emphasize that enough. Your Bible will give you the right worldview if you'll heed it. You'll read it and you'll heed it. Now Barna went on and he said this, quote, most American Christians today do not live in a way that is quantifiably different from their non-Christian peers. Did you hear that? There's not a whole lot of difference between us and the world outside. In spite of the fact that they profess to believe in a set of principles that should clearly set them apart. The vast majority of Christians do not behave differently because they don't think differently. And they do not think differently because they've never been trained. They've never been equipped. And they have never been held accountable to think differently. Now stop and consider this. What would happen if we had ourselves a time where we said, okay, I want you to write down what you believe and how you will live this week. And then the pastor will ask you next Sunday, is that how you live? Now, you might not come back and say, that's none of your business. You know, you look at the book of Acts, did they hold people accountable? Yes or no? Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. This is serious. Only 4 out of 10 people who claim to be Christians also claim that they're absolutely committed to the Christian faith. 4 out of 10, but they claim to be Christians. 2 out of 3 born-again believers assert that there is no such thing as absolute moral truth. Now stop and think about that. This is an independent, fundamental Baptist church. Independent means that we're not a part of an association or a denomination. What you see is what you get. Fundamental simply means this. Folks, there are fundamentals in the faith. We hold to them. We hold to them. Was Jesus Christ born of a virgin? Yes. Is the Bible the inspired Word of God? Yes. Did Christ rise from the dead? Yes. Guess what? You've said yes to some of the fundamentals. By the way, we defend them as well. If somebody comes along and they knock them out, we say, well, that's what, you know, it's all according to your opinion. No, no. There are opinions, all kinds, that have sent people to hell. There's other quotes that I have here. I'm not going to use them at this time. But here's the point. Here's the point. Our minds can be fed and they can be led. And time and again, as we have seen tonight by Peter, we are told, look, you've got to take your mind. You've got to feed it. You've got to lead it. You've got to instruct it. You've got to talk to your mind. This is the direction that we're going to go. Because your mind is affected by the flesh. And that's one of the things that we need to keep under. Our body, our minds, that is what we do. All we have is Christ. In closing, all we have is Christ. He is the one that sets us apart. Christ is all. And that is what we must stand on. That's why we need the mind of Christ. Let's stand for prayer.